All right, turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. And I'm so glad that God allows us to go back to Bethel. I know that, man. So many times you get away from God, but He allows you and wants you to return to Him. Joshua chapter 24, we'll read verse 13 this morning. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for another wonderful day in your house. Lord, we thank you for this place. And Lord, just so excited to be here this morning to see what God will do in this place, Lord. And Lord, excited about those that are here, Lord. I do pray, Lord, if anyone here that does not know you as their personal Savior, today would be their day of salvation. Lord, I was reading this week about how it pleased the Lord to bruise Himself for us. And Lord, we can't even understand all that Christ went through, the perfect life He lived and shed His blood for us. We don't understand it completely, Lord, but it's a free offering to us if we will accept it. And God, I pray if there's anyone here that doesn't know Christ, Lord, today will be their day of salvation. And God, we thank you, Lord, for Lord, just this study through Joshua, Lord, and what a great man of God, what a great leader. And Lord, I just pray that Lord, your hand be upon Pastor John Mark as he speaks this morning, God. Move in our hearts and lives. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Good. Thank you, Brother Jason. We appreciate, as always, the music this morning. Thank you for that, for the choir. And a great job. And then the special with Mrs. Antic. And in the offertory with Alicia, man, good to have our college students home for the summer, and appreciate them jumping right in and helping out here. So many great music this morning, and then man, good to see Mr. Rawlings back here. Good to see you in this morning. Saw two of your favorite grandchildren on Friday night, and saw Miss Tracy was up here with Micah and with Hannah. Anyway, but man, good to have you in here. As always, and I saw them Friday night, and then Mr. Rawlings, I was over at Keystone Grill this week too, one of your favorite places. I was disappointed you weren't there. I saw Miss Tony and Miss Tina and Miss Kim and Luke. I saw them there, but didn't see you over there. But anyway, I got to get over there this week too. I've been around a lot of places, a lot going on this week. Joshua chapter 24, and we read verse 13, and we're, as you can tell, we're in the last chapter of the book. And so the very end of what's going on here with the people of Israel. And this whole book of Joshua has been about the victorious Christian life. What our Christian life is supposed to be once we're saved, and they represent that salvation is represented by the people of Israel being delivered from Egypt, delivered from bondage. That represents, Egypt always represents the world. And so the bondage of the world, the bondage of sin, and the deliverance that came for the people of Israel as they left Egypt, and then they were in the wilderness for 40 years because of their unbelief, and then were able to come finally into Canaan. And so they come into the promised land, and we begin that in Joshua chapter 1. You think about where we are now in Joshua chapter 24. And Joshua's going to gather the people together, and they're here, and they've conquered land. What they came to do, they've done. And not perfect. We talked about a little bit in some areas they still needed to fully conquer, but they've done what they set out to do. This generation has set out to go into the promised land to conquer the Canaanites, and they were able to do that. And so now so you think about that, and this is what can happen, by the way, to us. We finished that, all right, we're saved, we're trying to live for God, all right, now what? Right now, what do you do after that? Well, we've conquered these things, and yet there was still much more for them to do. We'll get into that probably a little more on next week. But for this morning, I want to just concentrate on this, what we read there in verse 13. We're going to talk about the first part of chapter 24. And really what God does, God speaks through Joshua here, and Joshua will begin in verse 1. We'll read that in just a minute. But Joshua will begin speaking, and he'll give what God has given to him. And so really in these 13 verses, really starting in verse 3, he gives exactly what God has said. And so Joshua is, in essence, quoting God. And so you'll find this. God decides to give the people of Israel a history lesson. A history lesson. We're finishing up school here this week, and some of these guys have history exams that they're going to get to take. How many of y'all, your favorite subject in school was history? Your favorite subject was history? All right. And, that's a wonderful thing and subject, and I enjoyed history as well. I don't know if I enjoyed it as much because, you didn't have to do but so much thinking in there, right? Not a lot of figuring out. I had to do a lot of memorizing, and I didn't mind doing that as much. But I enjoy history. Enjoy it today. Enjoy looking back. I was reading, I have this book, and I like to go to it. I was reading it again this week, and it's letters and speeches, actually, more than letters, that Ronald Reagan wrote, and most of them were before he became president. And one of them, this has nothing to do with the message, right? But I read this week, and there was one he wrote back in the 70s about abortion. And he said he became governor and hadn't really thought about it that much, and then something came up where he had to make a decision on they wanted him to pass this bill when it came to abortion. Anyway, but he made this point, I thought it was a great point, about the property rights, and as he's talking about, of course, some criminal laws in states where if you kill a woman who's expecting and the baby dies, then you can be charged with the murder of both. He said, well, how does that work out if that's not a real life, right? But then he came up with this, which Reagan was always just so brilliant in things he thought of. But he said, the property rights, too, he said, if there's a man and his wife is expecting and he dies, then in many states that woman has rights. But since that baby is in the womb, that baby also would inherit. And he said, so if that's the case, and a widow has that baby that has not been born yet, but that her husband dies, and she thinks instead of splitting this, I can get all the money, that I could kill that baby. He said, how do we reconcile that, right? And I thought, man, it's a great, I never thought about that before. And that's one of the many reasons, right? The main reason abortion is sin is because the Bible says so. It's a murder of a baby, and so it's a sin against God. But anyway, I was reading that this week and reading about, I love history, love those things, and you look back at those times, and we miss some of that today, right? But anyway, God gives them a history lesson. And he gives them a history lesson for the people of Israel here in 13 verses. 11 verses, really, because it doesn't start till verse number 3. But in those 11 verses, the word I is used 17 different times. And actually, there's several other references, too, really, where if you fill in the understood I. And that I is always referring to God. And so God talks about himself here in these verses, and he gives the people of Israel a history lesson, and he tells the people of Israel this, that you have lived, he says, Israelites, those of you who have conquered this land of Canaan, those of you who have come in during this time period, you have lived a privileged Christian life. I want to talk this morning about that, a privileged Christian. We hear that word privileged, right? And that word's thrown around, and many times in a derogatory way. Well, you're privileged, and you have this, and whether it be our social standing or race or gender or whatever, some sort of thing. Boy, the privileged life that you have. Well, God talks to the people of Israel, and I want to talk to you this morning about the privileged Christian life. And I want to start looking at verse number 1 and want to go through and explain what God does here. In Joshua, verse 1, gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. I want to start in verse 3 here, and we'll just take some time this morning and look at what God did. Verse 3, and I took your father Abraham. First thing he tells the people of Israel, this is, I took Abraham. God's the one that sent Abraham out. He says, I took him from the other side of the flood. Not only did I take him, but it says there in verse 3, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac.
God says, I did that. Hey, I took Abraham from where he was, and I took him here to the land of Canaan, and I gave him some promises, and I gave him the land that he have, and I multiplied. And I not only did that, I gave him that son, Isaac. I did that for him. Then look at verse number 4. And I gave unto Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. And I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it, but Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. And so God says, not only did I take Abraham from where he was, I gave unto Isaac, and I gave unto Jacob, and I even gave unto Esau. Notice that in that verse there. And Esau, we know, rejected Christ. And the Bible talks about that in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews. But Isaac and Jacob and Esau, God gave unto them. God blessed them. Then look at verse number 5. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them, and afterward I brought you out. God says, I took Abraham, and I moved him to where he was, and I multiplied him, and I led him, and I gave him, and then I gave unto Isaac, and I gave unto Jacob, and I gave unto Esau. He says, and then I sent Moses and Aaron. It says, when I sent Moses and Aaron, I'm the one that plagued Egypt. I'm the one that, and you know your history of the Bible, I'm the one that God sent those plagues on Egypt to free his people, where eventually Pharaoh would say, get out of here. I don't want you here anymore. And he says, I did that. I brought you out of Egypt. I took Abraham. I gave unto Isaac and Jacob and Esau. I sent Moses and Aaron. Look at verse number 6. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt. And ye came into the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I've done in Egypt, and ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. God says, not only did I take Abraham, not only did I give to Isaac and Jacob and Esau, not only did I send Moses and Aaron, but I brought your fathers out of Egypt. Notice what it says in verse 7, when they cried unto the Lord, then he put darkness. Hey, God listened to their cries, and God said, I put darkness between you and the Egyptians. I'm the one that brought the Egyptians out of that land. I'm the one that parted that Red Sea. I'm the one that had those Egyptians go follow you into that Red Sea, and then I covered them with that water and delivered you. And your eyes, he says, have seen what I've done for you. I took Abraham. I gave Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. I sent Moses and Aaron. I brought your fathers out of Egypt. And then verse number 8. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. It says, I took Abraham. I gave unto Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. I sent Moses and Aaron. I brought your fathers out of Egypt. And then I brought you into the land of the Amorites. Is that those people, the Amorites, I gave them unto you, into your hand, that you could possess their land. And God says, I'm the one that destroyed them before you. Then verse number 9, then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. He says, I took Abraham. I gave Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. I sent Moses and Aaron. I brought your fathers out of Egypt. I brought you in the land of Amorites. And then I would not hearken unto Balaam. And most of you know that story. And Balaam, well, he was hired to curse Israel, and he just couldn't do it. God wouldn't allow him to do it. And God says, I delivered you out of the hand of Balaam and Balak there. And verse number 11, and you went over Jordan, came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, Hivites, Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. We're getting into more recent history now. He says, listen, I brought you into the land of Canaan. I did all this. I started with Abraham, and all the way now to this time period where you were alive and you were here, and I brought you into this promised land. And all those that you came in contact with, all the Canaanites that you had to deal with, I'm the one that delivered them to you into your hand. In verse number 12, and I set the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. God said, I delivered you from those two kings, not your sword and not your bow. As I took Abraham, I gave Isaac, Jacob, and Esau, I sent Moses and Aaron, I brought your fathers out of Egypt, I brought you into the land of the Amorites. I would not hearken unto Balaam. I delivered you from the people of Canaan. I drove them out from before you. Verse 13, and I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not. And you dwell in them with the vineyards and oliveyards which you planted not, do you eat. God says, I've given you a land. I've given cities that you didn't build, but you got to live in. I've given you a land for which you didn't labor. I've given you fruit, and I've given you things to eat that you didn't plant. No, those were done for you by God. He says to the people of Israel, you have a privileged Christian life. God says, I've given you everything you have. Reading that passage this week and wrote down some things here this morning. A little different message than I normally do. But God says, I took Abraham, I gave Isaac, Jacob, and Esau, I sent Moses and Aaron, I brought your fathers out of Egypt, I brought you into the land of the Amorites, I wouldn't hearken unto Balaam, I delivered the people of Canaan, I drove them out from before you, I've given you a land. Got me to thinking. God took a boy from St. Bride's, Virginia. Grew up in a drunkard's home. And God allowed him to meet a girl who lost her daddy before she was a teenager. They weren't saved, but yet God intervened and God brought them together. And they were married. A few years later, God led them one night, of all places, to a movie theater on Granby Street in Northern Virginia. And God led them there to that place, this young couple. As they were there in that movie theater and they heard watched a movie, a presentation from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, and God got a hold of their hearts, and God led them down that aisle, and they accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Not long after that, God put them in the armed forces. God led them to a church, a little church in Texas, where they began to grow spiritually. God gave them some truth that they could hold on to and they could grow, and came back here to Virginia. Got involved at Bellwood Baptist Church, not too far from here. And God called that man to preach, and that drunken father that he had at 57 years old accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. God called that family to preach. By that time, that family had two small children. They went down to Lynchburg and went to a Bible college there and met some great people. I mentioned Lewis Acker just a couple weeks ago. Met some people like that that God had touched, and God began to use their lives. And then after that, as they were there in college and finished up, and God sent word through Brother Lonnie Boyd, say, hey, there's a church there in Virginia, Chesterfield area, that needs somebody to come in and pastor. And God brought them here, that young family here, to Gilgrove Baptist Church, and they began to preach and teach the Word of God, and God began to move. And for me as a young child, I got to grow up in a church where people were getting saved and people were getting baptized. And at 7 years old, I got to get down on my knees as my mom took me through the Word of God and said, this is how you get to heaven. And I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior at 7 years old. And I got to grow up in a Christian school, and I got to go to a Christian college, and I got to see in my life as my parents were here and God doing something special in this place. And I saw a mom and a dad. I remember when my mom's sister was brutally murdered, and nobody should have to deal with that. What a tragic thing. And yet mom and dad kept going on for God. And I had an older sister who had a baby that the doctor said, listen, as soon as that baby's born, that baby's going to die. And she said, I'm taking that baby to term. And she did. And the moment that baby was born, that baby went to heaven. And yet she kept going on for God. And I was around the influences of godly people. And God gave me the opportunity to be here in this church and to see God move. And then I got to go to law school and finish that. And then met a wonderful lady, a wife that I don't deserve, that God gave me. And then God gave me four wonderful children. One of those born 13 weeks early, 2.5 pounds. And and God delivered, and God healed him. He's doing great. And God's done so much for me in the life that I have, and he's given me an opportunity to work in this church and to serve him in this place, and all that's going on in my life. And God did that for me, and God's given me this place that I can be a part of, and he's given me a home that I don't deserve. He's given me a house that I don't deserve. He's given me a place to go to church that I didn't build. I get to enjoy someone else's labor. And he's given me a family that I never thought I'd have. And God's been so good to me, all that he's done in my life. I serve a Savior who's a risen Savior. Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. I have a God who loves me. I have a Comforter who guides me. And this morning, I want you to say, well, my story's not the same as your story. But let me tell you something. There's no way you can look at your life and say in your heart that God has not been good to you. Everything I have, God has given to me. And this morning, I want to tell you, God, listen, if you're not saved this morning, God wants you to go to heaven. He wants you to be saved. But if you're saved this morning, you have lived a privileged Christian life. I want the ladies to come up here to the instruments this morning. You come up, and ladies, come on up to the instruments, and we'll play our invitations. See, now here you are. All right, we'll do it quickly. I want everybody to stand, a little different invitation. I want everybody to stand with head bowed and eyes closed. Let me ask you something this morning. What has God done in your life? Hey, God said to the people of Israel, I've given you a privileged Christian life. God's given me so much I don't deserve. Hey, I'm able to live in a place that I didn't have to build. I'm able to serve in a place that he's blessed me with. Let me ask you this morning, if you're like me, when I was thinking about this week, I couldn't think of anything else, but I got to get on my knees before God and say, God, thank you for what you've done. As the music plays this morning, hey, if God's been good to you, how about getting on your knees this morning and say, thank you, God, for the privileged Christian life that you've given me. Come forward now. You can do it in your seat there. You can do it down front here. Hey, there's some of you, you haven't been on your knees before God in church in a long time. But how about getting on your knees before God saying, God, you have given me a privileged Christian life. Some of you in the balcony, some of you downstairs, you haven't been to the altar in the church in decades. How about getting on your knees before God this morning and saying, thank you, God. How hard is that for us to thank God for what he's done for us in our life? I've lived a privileged Christian life. You say, well, I haven't had all the advantages you have. No, but God's been good to you. I know that. There's no way this morning we can be here in the house of God and say God hasn't been good to us. There's no way there's going to be revival in our hearts and revival in our souls and revival in our lives if we can't thank God for what he's done. God told the people of Israel, listen, I've given you everything. Hey, this morning, let me tell you something. God's given you everything you have. So yeah, well, there's been some difficulties and there's been some health issues and there's been some, and there is. Let me tell you this morning, God's been good to you. God's been good to you this morning. And this morning, you just take a few minutes and say, thank you for the privileged Christian life that you give me. God's been so good to me. I don't deserve it. But you know what? Right now, God is preparing a place for me in heaven. I don't know why. But he's got a place prepared for me. What a privilege it is to serve God. What a privileged Christian life God has given us. This morning, just thank God for what he's done in your life.
thank God today for what he's done for me. One of the first steps in backsliding is ungratefulness. We get to a point where we don't thank God day by day for what he's done for us. Man, I hope you, and listen, this morning, a little different invitation. Man, if you're not saved, man, come get saved. Come see me. Come see one of these up front here and make sure you know you're going to heaven. Man, if you're saved this morning, what a life God's given us. What a privileged life he's given us. Man, that makes me want to go do something for him, right? Let's do that. Father, thank you so much for the life that you've given me. Lord, I don't deserve it. Or the things that you blessed me with and things I get to go out and enjoy today and family you've given me and the love that others have shown me, Lord, and most of all what you've done. Lord, I pray again, Lord, to touch the hearts of these people and Lord, help us to go out excited about serving you because of what you've done for us. And Lord, give us a great time today. We'll be back tonight excited about what you're doing in the future. And Lord, again, as we read this passage, what a privilege it is to be a Christian. What a privilege it is to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.